Teresa Edwards joins us on Sports Byline. She's been inducted now into the Basketball Hall of Fame, already in the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame. She is one of the 100 greatest female athletes of the 20th century. She played her college ball at the University of Georgia, where they retired her number 5, and she joins us on Sports Byline. You know, when people get inducted into a Hall of Fame, especially one like the Basketball Hall of Fame, it can be a little bit overwhelming because you start thinking about your entire career. And I'm just wondering, when you reflected upon it, what was the thing that touched you the most, Teresa?
You're exactly right. It's overwhelming, but it's wonderful at the same time. You do reflect on your entire career and life, because you got to remember those people that was there before anyone knew who you were, and then the body of work that you put in. And it forces me to look back sometimes when I'm not ready to, but I think it's about time I start looking back, so I was ready for it.
The one word that I would apply to you is longevity, and that is something that it really impresses me, especially with athletes that play a difficult sport for a long period of time, because I know the wear and tear on the body. I know the wear and tear emotionally and mentally as well. When you look at your longevity, you went to 5 Olympic Games, you won 4 gold medals, you have a bronze medal as well, and all that you did, what do you attribute your longevity to?
Well, first, to the love of the game. I was fortunate enough to play with enough players that came before me that truly played for the love of the game, and I had some of that in me. And then I was in a position to, kind of model other young girls as they came along. So I was just in the right place at the right time throughout my career. And secondly, just at a time where, you know, we didn't have personal trainers and we didn't have all the fancy equipment. We really had the little plastic weight bars with the little bricks in them and a corner of the gym to do it in. And I think I just came from a generation that had things, a natural course of action. You find a way to keep yourself healthy. You never did anything to tear your body down. You got enough rest, you eat right, and you showed up on time to do it, give it your best shot every time you went out. And I feel very fortunate that I was on the tail end of some great athletes that came before me, that I was able to see that.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, who were the basketball game role models for Teresa Edwards?
Well, first, I'll tell you, being a young girl in South Georgia, you didn't have much TV. Definitely didn't have much cable, but any chance I saw Dr. J play, he lit up my life. I'd never seen anyone engulf the game. It was way before Michael's time. And as females, I got to high school, saw a couple interviews on an Ann Myers interview and Nancy Lieberman interview, and I was like, wow, women exist. So there's others out there before me. And once I began to play the game, I began to study the game. And the longer I played it, I learned the history of the game, the 76 Olympics and the 80s team that didn't get a chance to play, and watched the girls, the Lynette Woodards and Lucille Harris's and people of that nature that have touched my lives in ways, and been on the court with them and had a chance to play for some great coaches. I think Pat Head Summit was one of my first real national team coach that, taught me different levels of the game, and from her, Coach Landers, and a host of other great national team coaches. I really feel like I was just in the right place at the right time.
The other thing, too, that I'm struck by, and I know people listening to this interview around the world on Sports Byline are going to be struck as well by it, Teresa, is your attitude. Because, as you know, the society has not always been tolerant of minorities. They haven't always been tolerant of women and giving them the opportunities. What attitude did you have about any type of barriers that you might have found along the way?
Well, I think my biggest barrier is when I graduated from college and found myself in Italy for the first time. And totally culture shocked, in a sense that, geez, I didn't know cultures would be so different, Thank God basketball language was universal, and I was able to adapt very easily. But I think being in Italy, late age, 86, I think I had a hunger to be home, to be a professional athlete at home, to be around my family, to go from the gym in a natural course of action and understand the language. And, I've always wanted it, and it stayed with me year in and year out as I traveled probably a good 8-9 years back and forth overseas in different countries. That was the first battle, and I was very vocal about it. I've always been very vocal about it. For me, like, it was a dream that I shared with people. And for others, it was as if I was protesting. But for me, it was just a kid sharing a dream. Oh, man, I wish I could be home doing this. And I think that's one of the biggest battles that, today we revel in the WNBA now, because we've found a way to have the game professionally here at home.
I would think you would be a little bit upset slash angry the fact that you'd have to go outside the country when you see the men playing inside the country. Oh, did you feel like you'd been ostracized to some degree?
Not really. I was too young and dumb to know that there was such a thing. I think that I was just, like I said, a kid wishing upon a star in dreamland. Never felt negative towards the guys. Just one been very few people that I know in the world that I've never gauged my life upon someone else's and been happy with what I could make the most of mine. So I think that's kept me and my mentality in the right place as I approach, because that's just simply life across the board.
You mentioned about the coaches being different. How so?
Different in what way? Well, I mentioned that I've had an opportunity to play for some of the greatest ones.
Yeah, well, you mentioned when you went overseas that you found coaches to be a little bit different.
Oh, God, yeah, back then, very different. well, compared to overseas, I thought we were just like, we were so far ahead, well-coached, maybe by foreign people's, foreign players and coaches' status, maybe we're overcoached. You know, and go over there, there's really not a lot of discipline at that time. Now it's very different, but then it wasn't a lot of discipline. I had to, you know, kind of force myself to stay on top of my game, stay in shape, because my skill level at that time was much, you know, much higher than the players I was playing with once I went overseas. So they weren't used to coaching players of our status at that time.
Do you feel you and Lisa Leslie and even others before you have changed kind of the image of the female athlete as well? I think about Jackie Joyner-Kiersey. I think about others, that there's a femininity. There's an acceptance of them, not only as athletes, but also as real persons.
I think we still struggle with that as athletes. I say that because you don't see women going from the cords, the hardwoods, or the fields, or in Jackie's case, straight into the broadcasting booths or the primetime jobs that are out there for most football players that I see, or, you know, basketball players that do the major primetime broadcastings. I think we struggle professionally crossing over like that. But at the same time, when you mentioned Jackie, when the first time when you first began to speak of that, that's who I thought of. I mean, I think Jackie's a phenomenal young lady. Phenomenal athlete, in my mind, the tops. And I think she's carried the torch for many years, but I still think there's more for that she deserves. And if it's tough for Jackie, then I look at myself and go, hey, I'm on a normal course of action here.
You have played at three distinctive levels of basketball. What I mean by that is that you've played college basketball, where you were a two-time All-American at Georgia. You also played professional in the ABL and the WNBA, but you also represented your country on that third level in those five Olympic Games. Tell me about the difference in the feel of each of those experiences basketball-wise.
Well, I do think the Olympics and the internationally, that's the epitome of greatness in women's basketball, and you showcase your talents around the world against the best that there is out there. And so that gives you the opportunity to, we fight like crazy to be amongst the top 12 in our country just to get there and make our team, and then we go and we face off against the world. So to me, that epitomized the greatest that we could possibly be. Professionally, we have to spread our talents and spread the feel, and so that's different. So you go for it, you know, WNBA and ABL per se. These are things that we get to hone our crafts, and we're rewarded for being professionals and taking our job seriously, and you know, taking it as the men take it. It's a year-round job. It's our careers, and we take it that serious. And that's how we approach it. But when my opportunity came to play for our national team, it's just a different heartbeat. It was a different competitive nature. It was a different pride level because, you know, it took a lot just to make the team. It took everything in me to make the team. It was easier once I got with my 11 other teammates and we had to face off against the world. We were too proud to let our country down as best we could. So I would do that again today. My lungs would collapse, and my legs would not go like I want them to, but I would still try.
The other thing, too, that I think is interesting is that at the beginning when you were invited to play in the WNBA, you said no to them, and that was because you were going to be receiving a minimum salary due to your status as a WNBA rookie. Was the issue here for you the fact that you'd established yourself and you didn't feel you should be judged by some particular label?
I think I was at a place in my life, if I'm not mistaken, 96, somewhat, now 30s, that I'd worked so hard to establish myself professionally abroad, and I had such proven, I mean, I had come from being a guard, making around, you know, $15,000, $20,000 my first year out of college, and feeling like, wow, that's the greatest job in the world, and working my way up, and all of a sudden, I saw myself back. And after I'd done that, and it was just very, very hard to swallow at that time. And that's what it was about. It was about just the how did I see myself? And if that's the way I saw myself, then no one else was going to see me that way if I didn't allow them to. So I kind of was fighting for that, like you said, the respect level of where I'd come from and how hard I'd worked. And that was where I was coming from. But, you know, for them, it was a business. And I had to accept that.
The other thing, too, Teresa, is that women's basketball, and I've had this discussion with Pat Summitt numerous times when we'd be sitting maybe having dinner or just chatting, and that was the identity of women's basketball. And I'm just wondering, when you take a look at it today, do you think people are looking at it and accepting women's basketball for its skill level as it is rather than comparing it to the men, which I always hear is, well, they play the game above the rim. Do you think there's an acceptance of the excellence of the women's game today now, finally?
I really do, and I think it's exciting. It's an exciting reception going on appreciation for the game played at a different level amongst women, and just the team atmosphere of sharing the ball as we do, the strategic value we take in playing against each other. I think we bring back an innocence to the game that people can appreciate. I also feel like we have a different fan base. To be fair to the guys, it's just a different fan base of people that have followed women's basketball since some of us was in high school to college now to the pros, and they're very intelligent about our game, and they let us know, trust me, each and every play during the game. And it's an exciting crowd of people that really support women's basketball and have allowed the WNBA to be around for 15 years. We appreciate that. Me of most people definitely can appreciate it, whether I'm out there or not. I appreciate it from the stands or the sidelines as much as the next person.
We only have a couple minutes left, but I'm going to ask you an ego question here, and that is, when you think about your contributions to the game over such a long period of time and the success and the class that you brought to the game, what is the thing that means the most to Teresa Edwards about that?
That our dream came true. We have a platform here to be professional athletes and be rewarded and paid for it, and young ladies can make a career out of it. That for sure is something I'm very proud of, and I've always wanted to see myself as an old woman walking in as a king courtside, being able to appreciate the women's game for a long time, so I'm still living for that day. That's it. I don't feel like I've made any more special contributions to the women's game than any other person out there in the women's game. I just feel like this is what I was born to do, and I wake up every day proud to be a part of it.
Is there a particular moment in your career, and I know this is tough to just single it down to a moment, but is there one moment in memory in your career that will stay with you forever, Teresa?
I think that 96 Olympic team in Atlanta, the young ladies that graced the courts to win those games and the game, the gold medal, those memories they're so strong in my mind as if it was yesterday, the young ladies that played with the process we went through, and where that brought us to where women's basketball is today. It's just really hard for me to let those days go.
Yeah, Tara Vanderveer was the coach. She had taken a year off from Stanford to dedicate mm-hmm. herself to the team, and it all came together. And I remember covering the Olympics down there and how special the moment was, the feel of winning that gold medal in the United States, in Atlanta, and you could almost sense the closeness. I want to thank you very much for not only what you've done in basketball, but for the person that you are and the standard that you've set as an example for other people, not just women and young girls, but other people as well. Teresa, again, congratulations on being inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame, and you're always welcome here on Sports Byline.
Ron, thank you for having me, and I appreciate all the love that you give us as well. Thank you.
Teresa Edwards, again, not only a member of the Basketball Hall of Fame, but also already in the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame. We continue on America's Sports Talk Show.